I'm Ezra Ginsberg. I'm joined with Kyle Kozier beside me right now. We've got, what, about six picks left in the first round? It seems like
the last few picks are lingering
a little bit, but Kyle, obviously, the entire day has been absolutely bonkers, but, you know, what do you think about Winnipeg's pick, first of all, because, you know, it was obviously a little bit off the board.
Yeah, you know, we're all really shocked here. There was a lot of kind of disbelief with the pick. There's several safe picks still available at number seven when Chiefly went. There's, I guess, sort of a gasp of disbelief, I guess, from the Jets fans, followed by a cheer. You know, he was kind of ranked mid-first round type of thing.
Yeah.
Seems like a pretty good kid. We saw him in the media scrum, saw several interviews. He's obviously very, very pleased to be coming to Winnipeg. He seems, like I said, to be a good kid, sort of an infectious smile. He's excited, very personable type of kid, so I think he'll fit in quite well. That said, that doesn't really, you know, being personable doesn't always translate to being a great player on the ice. So let's see how he does in training camp and comes out. Might be a kid that needs a little bit more time to mature, maybe some time in the American, you know, finish out his junior career, some time in the American League before he moves on. But, initial reports are that he looks good. Kind of a surprising pick considering who was still left on the board. You know, Sean Couturier, Dougie Hamilton. Let's give the kid the benefit of the doubt and hope he turns out to be a great Jet.
Obviously, the Edmonton Oilers had the first overall pick. We were talking about this earlier today, and you know, I was asking you, you know, if you thought that the Oilers were going to go with Adam Larson maybe, or if they were going to go with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Obviously, they made Ryan Nugent-Hopkins the first overall pick. Did they make the right pick?
You know, I think they did. The Oilers really got to go with the best player available. I think that's really the only truly sound draft strategy. And, you know, having playing down the road in Red Deer, the Oilers were able to see him several times during the year. You know, he's an elite playmaking center, something they lack in the system. I really don't think he can go too far wrong with that pick. There's a lot of comparisons out there to, you know, Sakic and Datsyuk, and anytime your name gets mentioned in the same breath with those guys, it's you obviously have a lot of talent. And I think it kind of shows, too, that, you know, picks two and three, you know, the Avalanche and the Panthers both passed on Larson, too. So where some people thought Larson was going to be a potential number one pick there, shows that maybe the Oilers had the right guy all along.
Sean Couturier. Let's just call him Couturier.
Yeah, let's do that.
He went eighth to Philadelphia. Were you surprised at that? Because I was a little bit surprised that even Winnipeg passed him up at seven, but we were hearing that he might go, you know, as high as fourth.
Yeah, really, really big surprise, especially, you know, Winnipeg passing on him. A big center like that, as you were kind of discussing first at breakfast and throughout the day and talking with other people around the draft here, possibly a case of Couturier being identified very early as a potential number one pick and then having, you know, I don't want to say the benefit, but, you know, but
bit
I
of
guess,
a fall off.
Yeah, having the misfortune, I guess, to spend all year at number one and having scouts pick holes in his game. You know, when you're the number one, you don't go to look at the guy to pick at what's right. You think, well, yeah, he's this, but he does this wrong, he does this wrong. And I think, you know, that's sort of like a death by a thousand cuts and allowed him to, you know, that allowed him to fall all the way to eight. And I'm sure the Flyers were thrilled to get him at eight.
And there was obviously a massive trade here. That happened about 1 hour ago. Brent Burns was traded to San Jose for Devin Setoguchi, and then there was also some prospects involved. Charlie Coyle.
Yeah.
We were down near the draft table level, and Mike Babcock was being interviewed by someone, and he looked like he was a little bit shocked by the trade. What did you think of that trade? Because that's a couple of big names there.
Couple of big names for sure. I think as much as it pains me to say it in the Excel Center, I think the Minnesota Wild come out as the losers on that trade. I guess my opinion is that Brent Burns is the best player involved in that deal, and typically whoever gets the best player wins. Setoguchi, while, you know, is a great talent, he's more of a support type player. I do like Charlie Coyle too. Had a real good showing for the U.S. team at the last World Juniors there. So maybe just a change of culture was needed as well in the Minnesota room. So a couple young guys bring you know, an infusion of youth, and it's sort of a different direction for the Wild. You know, they're getting away from those real steady, you know, not flashy players. They get a couple guys with some offensive skill, and maybe that's a change of scenery and change of strategy that'll benefit the Wild too. But I mean, just on paper, you have to think San Jose wins that deal by picking up Brent Burns.
And you know, we got to wrap this up pretty quickly because we've been up since 8 in the morning earlier, right?
Yeah.
And it's getting really late here. But I don't think we could, you know, do a podcast from the XL Energy Center and not mention. You can't, obviously, people watching the video won't be able to see this at home, but we can't not mention the Jets fans. I mean, there were hundreds of Jets fans here. They were cheering Go Jets Go for hours. It's quieted down a little bit because I think they got a little bit tired of cheering for so long. But, I mean, what an impressive display. I mean, we're sitting in the media room, and everyone's talking about who's Winnipeg going to take, and then the trade kind of overshadowed that a bit, but... What were your thoughts on, you know, what the amount of Jets jerseys and everything that we saw here tonight?
I think it's really a testament to the passion of the Winnipeg fans, you know, to make the drive down here, to don their Jets gear, to cheer at the top of their lungs. And, you know, I mentioned on the radio earlier today that you really can't wipe the smile off these guys' faces. Like, even looking now, just there's a family up there. It looks like mom, dad, the hot sister, and the dorky brother. But they're still happy, boy. I'm looking at them right now, and they're talking to each other. They're smiling. They're having a good time. I even see an Oilers fan and a Jets fan sitting together, so it gives me hope for peace in the Middle East. And if those two guys can get together, hey, anybody can get together. So kudos to Winnipeg fans and to the organization. It's really great to see them out here, and really serves notice to the NHL that Winnipeg's back and they're ready to play.
Very well said. So for Kyle Kozier, I'm Ezra Ginsberg. We're going to wrap up basically the first round here. There's five more picks, and then the first round will be over here. It's about... You know, 20 after 9 o'clock at night, but we'll be here all day tomorrow, so keep it locked to www.illegalcurve.com.